On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, Damon is out, but Jeff, Eric, and Gary discuss the life-altering moments that have been important to them. This and spontaneous trips to Orlando and more. Seawall 213 starts now.
Sunday, May 26, 2013. I'm Jeff.
Me not that kind of orc.
I'm Eric.
I have an odd craving for the blood of a live Kolar beast.
And I'm Gary.
Sassy gals, get the hose.
And welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast. I'm in Interminable Length, episode number 213. And I really need to see a Star Wars Trek Into Darkness. I really need to do that.
Yeah, you do. Slacker.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you? Why haven't you seen the damn movie yet?
Money.
Oh, wait, weren't you just telling me you were buying something online?
Yeah, because my current dress shoes are totally destroyed right now, so I need new dress shoes for work.
Okay. So it's a work thing. It's justifiable, I understand that.
So it kind of trumps the nice I want to go see a movie thing. But I may be able to go see a movie since I just got paid on Friday. And just hopefully my budget ends up working out just fine again. But damn the lack of bonus and the extra taxes that are coming out of my check. It sucks. So,
well,
no particular. Oh, and one thing I found out about this week, my rent's going up by $54.
Yeah, I saw that listing. I thought that was interesting.
So I'm probably going to be moving in August. So happy birthday to me.
That's a little cruddy.
Yeah, I still need to talk to them about it to see if there's something. Because they give me a 9 and 10 month lease, which I think is just weird. And yeah. It's like there was no difference between the 9 and 10. I'm like, well, why would I get a 9 over a 10?
Why not a full 12 months for a lease? That seems weird.
Right. Exactly. And why a 9 and 10? Why not like a 12? Or, you know, I've understood 6 month and 12 month lease.
Right.
And somebody, when I mentioned something like this, had said, well, it's really about timing of people moving out. They're trying to say that if they decide not to renew after the 10 or 9 months, they move out while other people are scheduled to have theirs terminated the month after. So it kind of spreads the moves out or something like that.
Okay.
But anyways, I don't understand it or understand how anybody can be allowed to increase their rent by somebody's rent by $54. So, unfortunately, there's no rent control laws in Texas, as far as I could tell. So they can.
No, the law in Texas is there is no law for just about everything.
Something like that.
Everything's allowed except gay sex.
I do that anyways.
I know. Just don't have kids with it.
Well, okay. I think I'm going to be
sorry. There was the whole lesbian thing in the news last week with lesbians having their child taken away by a Texas judge.
Well, that was also because of a complaint by the one of the lady's exes. So, he was being spiteful.
Okay. I don't pay that much attention.
Okay. Let's see. Anything else I did this week? Called a whole bunch of people. Especially people whose homes have already been foreclosed on or we haven't spoken to in years anyways or had any reason to get a consent to call them on their cell phone using an auto dialer per recorded message.
So wait, that was fun. You called people to ask them permission to auto call them on their cell phone.
Yep, because apparently there's some cell phone law or something where we have to get permission to call people on their cell phones using an $100 per recorded message. I think it may have just been call them on their cell phones. Maybe when they flat out just give us the number. You know, we didn't ask for them to give them a cell phone. They just gave us their cell phone, mainly because that's all they have. And personally, I think it's very stupid law that we're having to get this consent, because does anybody really freaking care about their minutes nowadays?
I do. I mean, I don't take phone calls anyway, but I'm on the lowest minute plan possible as a result, so... But then again, I don't have the issue of having people calling me for those sorts of reasons.
Right. You know. Oh, and bitch about state of California. State of California. If somebody is over a month past due and they only make one payment, despite the fact it's for the late charge date for the current month's payment, and they don't bring it current. No. They pay, they're due for April and May. They get a late fee on the 16th normally. But they make a payment for April on May 14th, yet there is no late – you forbid us from charging a late fee for the May payment being late. I don't know about you, but that's not incentive for the borrowers to get their account current. Just saying. I think it's a really stupid, stupid law. Anyways, that's my bitches of the week. Moving on.
Well, I guess I'll go next. What have I done this week? Went and drove out to Reading yesterday to get Mexican food because, while we have a couple of... This is so shitty. Okay, I'm from Texas. And in Texas, Mexican food is not Mexican food. It's Tex-Mex. And there's lots of actual Mexican food in my town. There's actually three or four places that do really good Mexican food. But the closest Tex-Mex is in Reading, which is a 45, 50-minute drive. So we went up yesterday to get Tex-Mex. Stupid explanation. Chester bought me a copy of Hedwig and the Angry Inch to replace a copy that got lost when we lent it to a lady about 9 years ago. Oh. So we sat and watched that again last Friday. And... we had our friend Kelby over, and we watched Wrath of Khan to try to give some examples of I don't want to spoil anything, but just how things play out in a recent movie versus how they played out in an old movie, just staging and cinematography stuff. Because a lot of that is similar in the two films, the new Star Trek and Star Trek II. God, that's confusing. Star Trek II, the first generation, and Star Trek II, the reboot.
Well, Star Trek Into Darkness. It's not Star Trek II.
Okay, Star Trek XII. Star Trek II and Star Trek XII.
XII.
And I've been playing Star Trek Online a lot. This week was the drop of their new expansion, which is the Legacy of Romulus. It's great, and I highly suggest everybody go out and try it. It's a free-to-play game, and you can play Romulans, Klingons, or Federation species. It's lots of fun.
Nice.
And that was pretty much my week.
So, Gary.
Start of the week was kind of quiet. Suddenly had a rather odd for me impulsive thing that happened. I was chatting with my friend Drew, who moved from Ohio to Florida last fall into winter. And I, for some reason, had this impression that he had someone that was visiting him this weekend or doing something for the holiday weekend, because he's always going to different shows and festivals and fairs and traveling and stuff. For things. So anyways, lo and behold, he didn't have anything planned, and I technically didn't have anything planned. So I went online and I quickly bought a plane ticket, and I'm in Orlando, Florida this week.
Oh.
Congratulations. How's the weather?
The weather was nice. It's, you know, upper 80s, low mid 90s, lots of sun. But so, let's see, what was that? Tuesday night to Wednesday, I made the decision to come down, bought the plane ticket, and then left Friday.
Nice.
And the crazy thing is I was supposed to work Friday, and I had already gotten approved to take off Tuesday, the day after the holiday, so I had a travel day. And I kind of got busted.
Oh, no.
leaving on Friday because, of course, the director of my team's like, let's have our weekly meeting Friday morning because we didn't have it Wednesday. And luckily, I was logged into my email for work on my phone while I was on my way to Buffalo to fly out. So I was on Bluetooth doing the weekly meeting in my car while driving to Buffalo to fly to go down to Orlando on
Friday.
Isn't
this amazing, the technology in the world today?
It is. I'm very thankful for all of that. However, I felt really shitty because at one point in the meeting, they made me go first. I normally go last. And then the director says, well, training always gets cut out. So we'll go ahead and have you go first, Gary, which I thought, shit. And then he throws me like a humdinger of a question to talk about what we've been doing recently. No prep, no nothing. Like, I have no idea that this one's coming. So I turn around and I say all that stuff. And anyways, and then he says to me, you know, after I'm done, he agrees with everything I say. And he turns around and says, well, you know, Gary, if you want, he says, did you, he said something about taking an extended weekend or something like that. I said, well, I hadn't originally planned it that way. I said, but I kind of impromptu decided to do that with today. And he said, well, that's okay. And he said, well, if you want, you can either put yourself on mute or, you know, go ahead and jump off the call and start your weekend. Which said to me, I don't know how the sound quality was on because of my being in a car driving on Bluetooth. I was like, shiest. So that's how I knew I got busted. I was like, damn it. And then worse yet, the person I report to on the team, their VP and their virtual network to log into work went down. So they didn't get the invite. So they didn't even know about the phone call. And I'm texting and I'm like, is the sound quality on my end bad? She's like, sound quality of what? I'm like, the call that we're on. She's like, what call? I'm like, our team call. And she's like, I didn't get the invite. And I'm like, what the fuck? So come to find out, she said that because the work connection went down, she presumed that it somehow bounced the invite into trash or some shit. I don't know if it was really what happened, but anyway, so she jumped on the call late. And so I literally am in the Buffalo airport going through TSA with an earbud in my piece as we're wrapping up the phone call. And I'm standing there, take my shoes off, empty all my pockets. I have everything in the bins, including the cell phone. The only thing I have left is the earbud. And the director says, all right, thanks everybody. Have a good weekend. I could not disconnect that damn phone call fast enough and then take the earbud off and throw it in the bin so I could walk up and get scanned and go through. So I made the flight, made it all the way down here, got here on Friday. Drew picked me up. I have been having new experiences. We went to an amazing Thai place on Friday night that has been award-winning and recently was put on Zagat. Then, let's see, yesterday we went to a barbecue fest and got to taste almost 20 different kinds of barbecued pork to judge. That was kind of interesting. And then I got my Parliament House cherry popped. I went to Parliament House two nights in a row. So for those of you that don't know, I'm going to set the record straight because I'm an old goat. And for some reason, I always thought Parliament House was a bathhouse. And in fact, it's a motor lodge. it's like a motel with a pool in the middle and a big ass stage and four bars, Drew. Four bars at Parliament House? One, two, three.
Well, four bars in the stage performance area.
Yeah, so there could be anywhere from like four to six, theoretically, depending on what's going on. So that was an interesting experience to go to Parliament House. We went again last night, which was quite comical because Drew was all excited because it was 80s flashback night and they had Stacey Q, who is an artist that is really popularly known for Two of Hearts,
the song.
And I don't know if Drew regrets going now or not.
She was a train wreck.
She was bad. She was I don't say that to besmirch Miss Stacey Q. I'm sure she's a lovely person. I don't know if she was on anything chemically or drunk or whatever, but like she sang over her own songs, which is okay to a point, but I'm thinking, girl, in this day and age, you should either like have a good track without a vocal to let you sing it, or you should have a good track that has the vocal minimized so it's not so obvious that you're singing right over top of your own song. And then she wouldn't sing some of the words. She would just, you know, stop singing at certain points.
You're like two hearts that beat as.
Well, no, she was really good on the popular stuff. And that's the thing is that she sang six songs, I want to say. Was it really four? Drew's giving me four fingers. So anyways, it was an interesting experience to say the least. And then today we just got back. Oh my God. I am like flying on cloud nine. The reason I was late to start the podcast is because Drew and I discovered we decided to go to this place called Bananas, and it's an American diner. Now, the reason why this diner is so special is because it is run, operated by drag queens. So,
well, that would be interesting.
Your servers are drag queens. I don't know if the cook is a drag queen. Wouldn't surprise me. The only person that wasn't a drag queen that was staffed was the valet. Oh, and the one busboy. Yeah, but the busboy was a little muscle, like, you know,
little Latino muscle boy
running around. We had such a hoot of a time. It's diner food. Like I said to Drew, it didn't knock my socks off. But for the, what did we pay? $15?
$14.95.
Yeah, $15 for brunch. Plus I got a mimosa. Drew got a Bloody Mary. So roughly $20 I had for brunch. And what it is you get an appetizer to start, and then you pick something from a list of entrees. And then twice a day at 11:30 and at 1, they actually do a gospel performance. So your servers and the managers are lip syncing to Raise Hair to Jesus, like Pentecostal. You clap your hands, stomp your feet, gospel music in a diner while they are spinning. You can't get over this. One of the queens, her hairpiece started to fall out. And she got so pissed while she's performing because, you know, she's just so full of energy and jumping all over the place. She ripped her weave out of her own head and threw it on the ground while like spinning around between the tables. And we're all clapping and stuff. And then was it the same girl that went up?
No, that was our waitress.
No, the one that ate. It was the same girl that ripped her own hair out. She turned around, stopped at a table, stabbed a piece of chicken, was feeding it to the customer on a fork, and then ate a piece herself and kept running around. And then the other one did splits. High kicks, you name it. It was one of the most insane things I've seen in a long, long time. And what's the strangest part is the manager is a former Pentecostal minister. And I was like, wow, because it was really funny because they started off with, you know, a little introduction, and they talk on the microphone and they asked how many people were straight, how many people were gay, how many people are lesbian, how many people are the first time ever there. And then after the performance where the girl just lost her shit, I mean, just lost her shit, like you would have thought she'd been possessed. That's when I can't remember what her name is. The manager, she spoke up and she said, all right, how many of you in here have a Pentecostal background? And there's like maybe about four or five people that raise their hands. And she goes, okay, now you know what just happened. Like you've been to church. You've seen this happen before. She goes, how many of you are Catholic? And probably about a third of the restaurant raised their hands. She goes, you got no fucking clue what that was. Oh, my God. Oh, that's true. She said the moment when you see the weave falls, you know it's been a good service. She said, you know, it's been an extra good service when all the women leave the church bald. Oh my god, it was amazing fun. But the thing is, the show started late, and then that's why I was late, because I was like, we timed it to try to catch the show. And the thing I did say to Drew is, maybe we'll leave during the show, which is just a dumbass idea. Because there's not a stage. They're just running around the restaurant between the booths and the seats and that performing. So, yeah, no, it was crazy, crazy fun. So if y'all are ever in Orlando, I highly recommend you check out Bananas. Drew will take you. He'll go anytime. Even if you're not necessarily into drag, it's not obnoxious or anything. I mean, these girls are they're fun. They're beautiful. They're it's really meant to be a hoot and nanny, so to speak. And so we had a really good time with that. What's that $20 a head and drag queens go together historically? Well, it was true. And then I felt bad. I had a little panic attack because we were sitting there and the drag queens are performing, and I reach in my pocket and I have no cash in my wallet. And I had brought cash for the vacation weekend to get away. And I had it when we were at the bar last night. And so I'm sitting there the whole time, like enjoying the show and thinking, I pray that money's back at Drew's, because if it's not at Drew's, then someone picked my pocket and I ain't got no cash on me. Not that it's that big of a deal. I still had my cards, but it was just kind of outlandish because I wanted to tip the girls. But and then one of them, Drew lost his shit. He was crying. He was sitting in the seat. Our waitress, Coco, did this insane mix-up. Which includes, he's going to show me the clip later. If anybody ever has watched Night Swap, apparently there's a wife swap with a Pentecostal woman. And Drew, you said after she gets back to her real family is when she loses her mind. Well, this Coco, our waitress, does this Pentecostal number with about two or three different songs, but then auto splices in all of these quotes and phrases and sayings. So she's running around flipping out on customers. And at one point, this woman, I guess from Wife Swap, loses her shit over the money that you get for doing the show. And apparently she, like, you know, flips over the check that they handed her. And so that's in this piece that she's performing, because she takes all her tips that were shoved between her boobs and throws them on the floor and is like having a hissy fit about it. Oh my God. It was kind of crazy. I have to say, it was probably one of the best shows that I've ever seen. So needless to say, my Orlando trip, for being impromptu and not planned in only 2 days, has been pretty amazing and a lot of fun. And I may have made a connection with a certain someone that Jeff and Damon would probably give one of their teeth to see or meet in person.
Oh?
I'm going to let you think about who you might know that lives in Orlando.
Hadrian?
Yes.
McQuaid?
We may have chatted on an app. And unfortunately, we did not get a chance to meet last night. He was supposed to go out to Parliament House, and he had something that prevented him from doing so. But we are still chatting, so I'm going to see what magic I can work on that. And by magic, you perverts, I don't mean hook up with. I mean, if I play my cards right, I might be able to convince Hadrian to see if he'll be on podcast in the future.
Yay! We need a porn star on here.
Oh, Jeff, you're such an awesome host. We need a porn star on our podcast.
Maybe I can bitch at why he hasn't been online in WoW in a long time. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll, but I gotta ease into this. Speak, no pun intended. So, no, it was funny. I forgot that he was in Florida. For some reason, I kept thinking he was in California or Colorado or Arizona or something.
Well, he was for the longest time in California, and then he moved over into Florida.
So yeah, so I happened to see his profile on this app, and I was like, oh, get the fuck out, that's Hadrian. So I sent him a message, and then I nearly shit myself when he started chatting back and stuff, and I was like, oh my God.
Well, he seems to be a very nice man.
He is. So yeah, I so it has been a stellar weekend. I have a shit ton of work waiting for me when I get back to work on Wednesday. But
yeah, maybe I should have also pulled out the timer, figure out how long you were gonna go.
Fuck you. You know what? Let's talk about the elephant in the room because we haven't mentioned it. Damon is not with us this week. In case anybody was wondering where our Damon was, he actually is visiting with family this holiday weekend and could not record the podcast. So,
did you just say Damon was the elephant not in the room with us?
What? No, I.
No, he said the elephant in the room. But since he's not in the room, that means Damon's not actually the elephant. There's just an elephant in his place. Can't you hear it?
Do people not know that saying?
So I don't think we're avoiding the subject, and the audio engine did overload, so there was a little bit of a point there where you didn't hear all that. But that's beside the point. Yes, we understand what you meant by elephant in the room.
Yes.
We were just picking on you or something.
Oh, great. So now I'm being literal and they're the ones that are being sarcastic, sassy, sissies, whatever.
Yeah, you know, because let's see if I got this right. Here.
Sassy gals, get the hose.
Same.
Well, yeah, that is. Do you know what I said to somebody recently about the podcast? I said, we have these little audio clips. I said, I don't know if anyone ever understands what that is. Like if they can hear that it's Karen Walker from Will and Grace, and if they can hear the words that she's saying, which is sassy gals get the hose. But it goes by pretty fast, so we'll see.
Well, I knew all of that. First time I heard it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but you're gay. You have the gay.
I have the gay. I didn't watch much Will and Grace though, so.
Yeah, I could never get into that show.
Oh, yes, and Drew just reminded me on Friday night, we went to the Improv Orlando, and we got to see John Pinette, the comedian. And if anybody's not familiar with who John Pinette is, what he's famously known for is, get out of the line! Usually it has to do with buffet lines. He's been doing comedy for a very long time. He was hysterical. It was well worth the money to get in to see him, to sit at the comedy show and to see him in a couple of the opening acts. So I definitely recommend if anybody has a chance, go out and see some live comedy, have some fun, you know, enjoy it, kids, because that's how do the young kids say it now? YOLO. You only
live once. YOLO. Anyways. Moving on into our topic of the week, because we don't have any feedback. Didn't really get any likes. Sniff. Anyways, so Gary, can you introduce this?
Sure. The topic for this week's podcast sounds so dramatic.
It's like that mimosa is going to your head or something.
Drew's sitting here and he's like, the password is. Fuck you, it's not a game. No, the topic this week happens to be one that I came up with a little while ago, and it's life-altering moments. And basically, what are some profound experiences that we've had in our lives that we, if we look back on them, we can see how our life changed direction? Meaning, because of this thing, now this is the situation, or it created this other thing. Like, and I'll give an example. Everything that I, well, not everything. I think it's fair to say quite a fair amount of where my life is today in this very moment is due to the fact that I came out. And the reason being is because it's all like domino effects. I came out in my freshman year of college. I met my good friends in college, which led me to some interesting points of my life. One of the people I met after I came out in college used to put on these once a month community gay dances at a community center in the small college town that I went to. In 99, I met him again after having not seen him for like probably 4 years at a campground where there was a bear group. And Tom said to me, oh, I really think you'd like, you know, the bear community. I think you should check it out. And hence that joining the Bear Club, which I've now been a member of for 13 years, been on the board, been an officer, spun all of that, and then being involved in the bear community, created the Bear Run. Drew, that I know that I'm here, I'm spending time with, I'm friends with him because of the fact that of the bear community and the run and people that I that we commonly know and that kind of stuff. So that's what I mean by, like, something happens in your life and it definitely shifts things. Had I not come out in college in my freshman year, I don't know where I would be. I don't even know if I would be alive, because I know at that time in my life I was really not in a good headspace. I had broken up, well, my girlfriend, I should say, my ex-girlfriend of my senior year had broke up with me. And that actually was the impetus that got me to come out, because I was struggling emotionally and psychologically with why she broke up with me, what I was going to do with my life. I was miserable. And in an epiphany kind of moment, I called her up to ask her why she broke up. It's kind of a long story, but she had broken up with me by phone, leaving a message. And then, like, when I tried to call her, she would never answer, and her mother, Barb, wouldn't answer the phone. Anyways, so I called her randomly in October of that year, my freshman year, and I called her and I said, hey, you know, and she actually came to the phone. And I said, I don't mean to harass you. I don't want to bother you. Whatever the situation is what it is. I just have one question. Why did you break up with me? And she told me the reason, which I still to this day think was a dumbass reason. But because that happened, within probably a week after that, decided to face the music. And I had sort of an acquaintance who lived down the hall about four rooms, Rich Woolley, God bless you, wherever the hell you are, Rich, that was a musician in the marching band at college that I was in. And he was out, and he was black, and he was gay. And I mean, there was a running joke that he burned everything everywhere he went because he was so flaming gay. And I had asked him, I went and had a, you know, private talk with him about what it's like to be gay and this and that. And finally he was like, why don't you just come out, girl? And I was like, so
nice.
I was like, I'm not gay. I think I'm bisexual. I think I like men and women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Buy now, pay gay later. Right.
Well, that's why everybody treated me in college. And I was really, I still have a beef with that to this day. I don't have a beef with how they treated me. I just have a beef with how some people will say that to folks. I've met a good number of people who are truly bisexual. I love them. I accept them. It is not who I am. But I think it's kind of demeaning if someone, especially if that's the path that they take in discovering their identity, that, you know, people kind of shoot them down. They're like, oh, you're just gay. You just won't admit it or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Just let them find their own thing.
And you know what? I admit that that's exactly what happened with me. Was I was on the buy now, gay later plan. Although, in all honesty, I never did the buy thing. Like, well, actually, yeah, I did. Kind of, sort of, not really. Because when I came out to myself that I was actually gay, I was quote unquote bi at the time, is the thing is, and I love to tease my friend Jen about this, because I like to tease her and say, you know what, you were the one who made me gay. Because one night, right before second semester of my freshman year, we ended up having a pretty heavy makeout session, and she offered to take off her shirt. And I said, no, I'm not ready. Actually, it was more of, no, I'm not attracted to you in one way, shape, or form.
Wow.
Here's the thing is, I didn't say that last part.
Oh, okay.
That's really what it was. I didn't know that, but that's what it was when I look back on it. Is besides the fact, I have no idea what to do with those big breasts you have. You know? I mean, and again, not something I actually said, but these are things looking at back at it. So I do have to say that was my one quote unquote bi experience, but it really made me realize that no, I'm not bi. I am actually gay. So that's where my buy now, gay later thing is. And you know what? I hold that to heart. You know, it's definitely my thing. And I think that when somebody says a buy now, gay later plan or something like that, it's usually because at that point in time when you mention it, it's you actually came out as actually gay, and there was no real difference or anything. You weren't. It's not like you're still bi and you're like, oh, you're on the bi now gay later plan. No, I mean, until they're actually consider themselves gay, they're not gay. They're bi. They're still bi. But so just saying.
And that was the case with, you know, my coming out. I had girlfriends in high school. I still love women. I still think they're beautiful. I like the female form. I just don't want to have sex with them. And that's what it came down to, was that rationalization for myself. To figure that out. So coming out in my freshman year of college drastically shifted the course of the future of my life. And then I say I came out in October of that year. I don't know the exact day, so I always claim National Coming Out Day as my coming out, because it was it had to be within days of that. And then in 99, I had struggled because I had been out for 7 years basically. And I just didn't feel accepted by the gay community, because the gay community in my hometown and even in college was focused in a different direction. And, you know, they were all about a certain look and a certain style. And I just wasn't fitting that. And I felt a little outcasted about it. And when I found out in 99 about the bear community, it all kind of started to gel and come together. And that's why I went out of Erie to Pittsburgh, 2 hours to the south, to go to bear functions, because at least I felt like I was amongst not only men that I found attractive, but found me attractive and I could like hang out with. And there wasn't any pretension. There was, you know, a lot of the stuff that I felt that I was working against just wasn't there. So I feel like I had two coming outs, so to speak. And so the running joke now is, when, especially when it comes to Drenched Fur, Tom's been coming, I think, every year since the beginning. And so the running joke between the two of us is, we're very old friends, and it's his fault why I put on Drenched Fur, because if he had never introduced me to the bear community back at that campground, then I probably wouldn't have gone on and done the crazy shit that I do now. So that's kind of where my focus or my intention is. I think if all of us take the time and actually look back, we can see some things that kind of changed us. And maybe perhaps for a lot of us, it is the coming out that is the common, you know, thing that changed the course of our lives.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I came out, but of course I was never really in. I never had the whole girlfriend thing going. I didn't. I was very asexual when it came to high school and all the rest of that. So my coming out wasn't really the big point. I mean, I don't know. I think the big life-altering moment for me, I'm an introvert, and I tend to be really bad about expressing my desires and opinions because I tend to have pretty low self-esteem. I'm better about it now, but particularly in my 20s, I was just – you couldn't get me to get out of my shell whatsoever. And so I think a lot of it with me was just expressing to my now partner, Chester, that – and he's waving hi.
Hi, Chester.
They're saying hi back, and – this is going to get really bad on a podcast. But just expressing to him that I loved him, and not just as a friend. He was dating somebody else at that time, and it was a big thing for me to pull out. They were not, you know, in a relationship per se. It was just early stage dating, but it was a lot for me to put myself out there and say, hey, don't just look at this person. Other people are around too. And, you know, within 6 months of that, we were together. Within 7 or 8 months of that, we had moved across country. And here we are now, almost 11 years later. And, you know, it's definitely the most life-altering event I can think of.
That's pretty awesome, though, Eric. And what I love about that for you, which I think is a theme for everybody when they have a life-altering event, is you have to take the chance.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to do that. If I had not had the darkness and the awakening of my soul to say to myself, you need to make a decision. Either this is the end or do something. Because that's how bad my life was. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was very much in a bad headspace. And I made the decision to talk to Rich because I feel like I had reached my last rope. And that drastically change something. So I made a leap of faith. I actually did something that was not me, which was to go talk to somebody, not about what I was dealing with per se. Like, I didn't get into the details with Rich, but I think he got it and I think he understood. And to him, it may not have been in his scope of mind to think to himself, hey, I got to show this kid that everything's beautiful and it's nice. And, you know, life does have challenges, but, you know, get over it yourself. You can definitely do better with your life. And from the sounds of it, you made the decision that you need to reach out of your own comfort zone and kind of be true in a way to what you're thinking and what you're feeling, if it's something that you're not necessarily comfortable with or sure how it's going to turn out.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have a weird coming out story because I didn't quite come out as I was dragged out and then I was dating a guy. I had been telling my family I was dating a girl. My mom wanted to meet the girl, and I wouldn't bring her around because, of course, she didn't really exist. So she followed me one day and saw me picking up my quote-unquote girlfriend. You know, this is – anyway. So I got confronted when I got home about are you gay or not, and my family, as I've mentioned before, tends to be – extremely conservative, and I denied it and then came back half an hour later and acknowledged everything. So I have the world's worst coming out story because I was more not really a coming out, more of a dragged kicking and screaming, as Chester just said.
Well, to be fair, when I came out in college, I had not come out to my parents. Like, I came out to my immediate friends on campus because I lived a couple hours away from home. My parents had divorced when I was younger, so my parents weren't even in the same home. My dad actually showed up at college out of the blue, which he did every little bit. My dad was a truck driver, so for him to show up was not unheard of, but he normally let me know he was going to be passing through. And this time he kind of didn't. He just showed up. Like, called me, like, literally 5 minutes away, which was a little out of character. So my dad wanted to talk to me. And it was a very awkward conversation because he had figured it out and he wanted to discuss it, but he didn't know how to say it. So he kept trying to hint and ask questions like, Gary, is there anything going on in your life that you want to talk about? And I'm like, no. I'm like, everything's cool, Dad. You've met my friends. Marjorie's good. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just kind of this thing. And finally, I figured out what my dad was getting at because my dad, I think, gave me the line of, well, I want you to know that if you ever feel that you're struggling with something in your life, that I would like to be your friend instead of your parent and help you with whatever I can. And I think it's when it finally started to click. So I actually said to my dad, I said, you know what? I said, I think I'm going to give you an analogy to describe this conversation we're having. I asked him, are you familiar with like bivalve, you know, like mussels and oysters and that kind of thing in the ocean? And he goes, yeah. And I said, you know how like an oyster has a pearl inside of it? And he goes, yeah. I said, but do you know what happens in order to get the pearl? And my dad looked at me funny. I said, you have to kill it. I said, you have to crack it open and tear away the muscle in order to get to the pearl. I said, so you destroy the thing that you love to get the one thing that you want. And my dad got real quiet and he just kind of looked at me for a moment and he said, okay. And I said, that might help the situation. And that was all we said about it for a couple more months until I felt comfortable that I could get back around to talking to my dad, because I was going to counseling and I wasn't ready. It was out of order. Everybody knows I have OCD or some form of it. And I just, it manifested and I was like, I know, like my thought was, I have not prepared my speech, damn it. Like, so I had talked to my therapist on campus and basically had said, you know, my dad confronted me, but in a very polite, nice, congenial way. You know, he wasn't angry. He wasn't upset. He wasn't mad. And the reason why I was so hard with my dad is because I am I'm an only child and I am the last of my bloodline. There is nobody else within the family to carry on, so to speak. There's two men, my uncle and my dad. My uncle married an older woman. They have no kids at all. They have dogs. And then my dad just had me and that was it. And my dad wasn't planning on remarrying necessarily or having kids. So I put this psychological pressure on myself that I was it. Like, I'm the last of my namesake and there will be no more in the family anywhere, because it's predominantly, you know, with women marry out of the family. So that was kind of my big deal. And so I think back to that in kind of humor. I'm like, yeah, it's funny how sometimes people want you to come out, or they're ready for you to come out, and you're like, no, I'm not. So.
Yeah, I wish I'd gotten that. Mine was, are you gay? Because Jesus can fix you.
Oh, well. That's so sweet of them to say that.
Yeah. My mom's kind of a drama queen to start with, so my homosexuality became all about her for 3 years. But oh well.
Because she's a homosexual in hiding?
No. I would get to go to church and have everybody in church. She would walk up in front of the church, and she would tell the story about it with tears in her eyes about how she'd failed and she'd raised a gay son and this, that, and the other thing. And I would come home to find chain letters because my mom had gotten onto Christian television shows and put me on prayer chains to pray my homosexuality away. And so I would have dozens and dozens of letters from my well-meaning old biddies trying to save my soul. It's a wonder I'm not a very religious guy anymore. Oh, well.
So my question for you then, Eric, and this is incredibly inappropriate, is have you counterbalanced every single one of those letters with a deviant homosexual act in your lifetime?
I don't know that that's possible.
Oh, really? A lot of letters?
We went through 21 to 26, 5 years of real hell with my mother going through all this.
Wow.
She's medicated now, and we have a decent relationship now.
I love that's like the best line ever from you, Eric. She's medicated now, so like we have a much better relationship.
But we went through 5 years where she could end up with a freckle, and it would be skin cancer from Jesus. I'm gay. And I still get the occasional phone call where she's just, my mom is not mentally well. But she'll just break down crying because she's going to be the only one in heaven. I'm like, have fun with that.
Wow.
Oh, well.
I have to say that.
Down in hell.
This podcast is taking a really weird turn.
Okay. I would have to say this. I am quite proud of you, Eric, and the way that you've turned yourself around and have made it what appears to be a beautiful life. I say appears because I don't know you personally in person to hang out with you in Chester, but I think you're well-adjusted and you've done much to the positive despite some of the things that you've revealed about your past. And
kids, remember, just because you have crazy parents doesn't mean you have to be crazy as well.
Amen.
That I'll drink to that. That is totally true. And on top of it, everybody has crazy parents. It just takes a long time for some of us to figure it out.
Or some parents are more quiet than others.
Well, I meant crazy in general terms, like not necessarily clinically crazy. Like my parents are crazy, but my parents are crazy and weird in different ways. So. So, Jeff, do you have anything you look back on your life and think it vastly changed the course of things?
Moving down to Austin to be with my love, Carl. Mm-hmm. And then him dying 10 months later.
I can understand that. And by that, I mean not going through such a similar experience, but I can see the perspective of...
And it really is about the... And that's really two different situations. I mean, they're very much related. But the moving down from Minnesota, where I grew up most of my life, and moving that far away from my parents, that it's not like they're an hour and a half drive away or something. And moving in with someone. And not having a job or anything. And then secondly, the fact that after living with my partner for 10 months, for what time we did have together, he died. And all of a sudden, I'm like, in this house with two dogs, and I have a crap for job because, you know, I can't get much for better. And I was just all alone. And I actually don't feel like I had much support at all. And having to get through that and getting to where I am today.
I think the thing that is helpful for folks to know, though, is I'll use the three of us as examples since we've already discussed it. I think my mental challenges dealing with myself, being honest with myself, and learning that I can actually be happy instead of being miserable. Eric's upbringing, parenting, your life of living through that situation of moving and then your partner dying relatively soon afterwards. I think what the takeaway for people is that sometimes we don't necessarily get in life, because I know I didn't get it, is despite the challenges that you face, your life can be good. Your life can continue on. And it may not always be, you know, sunshine and roses and lollipops and all that kind of shit. But it doesn't mean that it absolutely has to end and that it has to stop. And that's probably the one thing that I was really troubled by a couple years ago with the It Gets Better project that had to be created, so to speak, because of the fact that there were so many kids that were taking their lives because they just didn't think that they could continue on. And the thing that bothered me about it is I could see myself as a reflection of that at a point in my life where I really questioned, what's the point of living? I don't understand if I'm just going to be miserable my entire life. You know, and to have that experience and to not know that, yeah, things can be good and they can be unbelievably enjoyable, but it's about the focus that you put into it and what you want to do with some of that stuff. And to see that literally it's taking it day by day, you know, and going in a different direction. And, you know, like if I had to pick a third life event, I guess, that kind of changed the course of things for me a little bit, was getting diagnosed with colon cancer 3 years ago. Mm. It happened in May. I found out it's a long series of medical stuff that led to it in a weird kind of way. But I found out in May and had a colonoscopy early at the age of 36. And they said, oh, we found a tumor. That was unexpected. So let's, you know, hurry up and schedule a surgery. We're going to do a resection, which is they actually take a part of your organs out and put you back together, basically. Rearrange the plumbing, as my surgeon said. And then went through the you know, post-op, went to the Regional Cancer Center, and I decided to decline radiation and chemotherapy. Now, the reason I did that was because of the stage of the tumor that I had that when it was revealed. And when they did all the testing after the surgery, what's called the marginal area was all came back negative. So there wasn't a risk of it having metastasized or spreading. So I made a decision that was purely mine, and I do not recommend that anybody try to follow in my footsteps. You have to make your own decision on medical stuff to not do that. And so 1 year later, I traveled on a very long vacation out to California, to San Diego, Anaheim, and LA, and visited friends and some new friends I hadn't even met in person yet. And every Memorial Day weekend now is one of those things that I look back and I try to enjoy. And that's what it kind of prompted this impromptu decision to come down to Florida, because I knew Drew would, you know, like to have friends come visit and hang out, and it's Orlando and it's Florida. And oh yeah, that's right, the weather's fucked up right now in the northeast part of the country for the holiday. Back in Erie, they're talking about frost warnings. I'm like, really? For May? So that's part of the reason that I made this decision to come down here, was to recognize the fact that I am very grateful for the weird, unpredicted opportunity to find out that my health was at risk in a way that I could have never seen coming. That's probably the thing about cancer that bugs me the most, is that it tends to be the one that you just don't seem to know about until the diagnosis happens for some folks. I think there are some cases where it's more obvious. If you do things to yourself, such as if you smoke and you develop lung cancer, like my uncle did, there's a rational connection. But other times, you know, people sometimes things happen and you're just kind of like, well, what the hell? So, and I didn't have a grand epiphany. I did not have the Hollywood, oh my God, I'm going to change my life and blah, 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 and all that. It's been a journey, and I've decided to enjoy more things, not quite be as serious, although I don't know if everybody understands that. I think some friends of mine have seen that a little bit of a change. And I think this weekend was a little bit of a reflection of it for me to just suddenly buy a ticket, travel across the country, spend a long weekend with a good friend of mine, and, you know, just have fun and do all that stuff. Are you getting growler messages while we're recording the podcast, or is that what that is?
It's not growler. That's regular text message emails. Growler goes,
oh, I just got schooled. Excuse me.
It didn't sound like a growling message.
You're not helping, Jeff.
Bitter.
Jeff goes, I'm not bitter. Jeff goes, that was not a growler message. You can tell the difference.
Gary gets the growler messages. I don't. Yes.
Fuck
I'm
you.
Tasting.
Yeah, no, I'm not tasting you because you are bitter. Anyways.
Off the rails.
Totally off the rails. I feel bad. I feel like this episode's all about me, which was not the intention.
Maybe you have more of thinking of what life-altering moments were. Speaking of life-altering moments.
Fuck you, Drew.
Let's ask our audience. What was your life-altering experience? We really want to know what, like, 140 characters. To give us a Twitter post as to what your life-altering experiences. We got a poll up. It has a couple of options because, well, it wouldn't let me just do other. So we put in the options of birth of another person, death of a family member, death of a partner, on there, and then other, and you fill it in. Right now, so I'm assuming we're probably going to have plenty of others, but it could be something as simple as, you know, my grandpa died when I was 17. He didn't even get to see me graduate. But that wasn't really life-altering. It was just very sad. But maybe it had a different effect for you. Or, like me, you had a death of a partner who you've been having experiences with for a while, and just suddenly he's gone. Or the complete opposite. You had a child, or you got a nephew or an uncle, or you became an uncle, or aunt, if you're a woman listening to this show, which seems weird, but, you know, still. And I put in birth. I don't know what that really means. I mean, can your life be altered when you were born? Besides the fact that you are now not swimming in a sack of fluid. I mean, that's really it. But so far we've gotten 3 votes since I posted this earlier today. One person did say birth. Comments to give us a little explanation. I just want some clarification. Had one person with the death of a family member, and no one said birth of another person or a death of a partner yet. Maybe we'll see some of those later, but we had one other which said, and never thought about this one, but being diagnosed as diabetic. Which I can definitely see that as life-changing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would
say, for you.
What did you just say, Eric?
No more cheesecake for you.
In fact, oh. I'm gonna actually add that as another answer, is being diagnosed as a diabetic. So I'm just gonna do that. So check out the poll at comesoutloud.com. Actually, click in the poll, please. All right. And with that, last week's poll, last week we asked, does wearing skinny jeans make you feel more gay? Or at least Sammy asked it. We had 21 responses. We had 11 people say, no, skinny jeans and bears are like the One Ring and Sauron. They must never meet. No, I've not fit into clothes labeled skinny since 1985, said 5 people. 2 people said, maybe I'm a guy with the chest hair and I've painted on jeans before. One said, yes, I am a twink and not a bear, and I'm loving my skinny jeans. and no women answered the question. So we did have two responses. One said twink that wears jeans with room enough for a paw. So basically not a fan of skinny jeans, but just wants to make sure there's enough room for a paw. And last one was Orko.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yep, it's back.
I wonder if someone we know did that on purpose.
No. I don't think so.
But, interesting.
But I'm glad to see Orko's back. Anyways. With that, wait a minute. We're are we doing the thing and the stuff and the oh yeah. It's time for Love on Craigslist. Bring in the best of love. Us. To start us off today, Eric, what do you got for us?
Oh, something to disgust all of us. I went to a little burb some of you people may have heard of, New York City. And I found this lovely post from a man looking for a woman titled, "Your Time of the Month, Need Attention." Queens, New York. He says, "I happen to enjoy a woman's period, and I would like to give you pleasure during yours. I am disease-free, as you must be. No smoking or drama." Funny, Craigslist has you click sex, no strings attached. Hell, I want a tampon string attached. I like them. Open about age, legal plus, any race, up to a size 12, maybe 14. I am white, 50s, and can host most weekdays. So, on the bright side, he knows what he wants and says it, and he gets right to the point. On the downside, he's talking about using women like you use a teabag.
Ew.
Yeah, that's... yeah, no. That's a no. Just... Not... Yeah.
Ew.
Eric, you get into word for grossing us out. I really don't know what else to say about that.
Ew.
Oh, well.
Well, that was a quick one. This one's kind of a quick one, too. For me, I got Bubble Shemale Fuller Kaz. K-A-Z-H. Trans for male, 22. Manhattan out only. For all intents and purposes, this ad, the words are basically a phone number. With each of the letters spelled out in a completely different way, except for the nines. So I'm not actually going to read it off, but if you take a look, you'll see what I mean. And it's like this little Asian guy. The only thing is that if he's a shemale, if it's a shemale, you never get to see the male bits.
Okay.
I just thought it was really very, very strange. Maybe he's trying to play to the whole Asian schoolgirlish sort of thing. Oh, yes! I really sucky sucky. Or something. I don't know. And being all cute and stuff. I don't know what causes. K-A-Z-H.
Me either.
But it looked very strange, so I thought I'd use that for my thing. Anyways, so not much to say for it.
Hmm.
That's my Craigslist, though. By the way, could you put some content in there? I mean, really. Not just to type your phone number out in non-characters. You know. Like, it has a 4 is F-O-E-R. And six is Z-I-K-S. Zix. Six, four, zig, zig. And one is W-H-O-N.
apparently English is not their primary writing language.
Or they're just trying to be cute. He's just trying to be cute.
Keep trying.
Something like that. So, that's my Craigslist. Gary.
Mine is thanks to my dear friend Drew, who actually showed it to me right before we started the podcast, because I, unfortunately, due to work and the impromptu decision to take this vacation, did not have one ready, but it's called Lady at the Funeral, and it was from Houston. It's M for W 50, and it's a missed connection. And apparently it's very popular, so I apologize if anyone already knows this one, because I didn't. It says, I saw you at the funeral, and I couldn't take my eyes off of you. I think you wanted to look at me, but you couldn't. You just stayed in the corner. Your hair was blonde. I was wearing the dark suit. I brushed against your hand briefly, but you didn't react. You were like an angel in a room full of grief, the center of attention. I hope they have keyboards in heaven so you can write me back.
Okay. That took an unexpected turn at the end.
Creepy! The fact that it was listed in misconnections is the biggest issue. Weird. I'm like, okay, so I don't know, and the posting's not up anymore, the actual link, so everybody, like, copy-pasted it and put it on different blogs and stuff. And then someone says, note from the user, because it's posted on a different thing, it says, note from the user who submitted this ad, I hope he's referring to a guest at the funeral. And I'm like, nope, you didn't read it right, you should have read the last sentence again.
Yep, keep hoping.
I was like, wow. I was like, that's really kind of just, yeah.
Troubling?
Unsettling. It's like, if you were trying to be funny, I don't find it funny. It makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
Awkward.
So.
All right. So who won this thing?
I am willing to give it to Eric because I was grossed out. For the grossness. I don't want anything to do with it.
We'll go with that.
Okay.
So Grossus wins.
I don't know if Eric likes how he won, but
that's okay.
Well, if
this is not a game I think any of us really try to win.
Oh, I don't know. David's been proud a couple of times when he's found a doozy, so I think
he's
if
like,
we find
I found a great one.
Yeah, I think if we find a good one, we want to take the credit, but
anyways.
That being said.
Moving on into the links, Eric.
Well, my link this week is just a game I've already mentioned today. I've been playing Star Trek pretty heavily this week. The Legacy of Romulus pack just came out, and it has been incredible. Along with fixing the Klingon, there's three factions in the game, Federation, Klingon, and now Romulan. When the game released 3 years ago, Federation was really the only class and group that was well fleshed out. The Klingons you could open up when you got about halfway through the Federation content, and then it never was really fixed. They fixed all the Klingon content now. You can start as a Klingon now and go all the way through, all the way to the end of the game. And the new Romulan stuff is really cool, and it's actually based off of the first of the Star Trek reboot movies, the 2009 or 2010 one. So it picks up in the original Star Trek universe about 20 years after the events of the first Star Trek movie, and the Romulan Empire has basically been destroyed. And it's got a lot of good writing. They got a lot of good voice acting, including Denise Crosby to reprise her role as Sela, a Tal Shiar member who's become the Empress of the Romulan Empire. And it's just a lot of fun. It is also completely free to play, although like any free to play game, there's lots of consumables and you may not get the very highest end equipment without putting it through a couple of bucks. So if you're bored this weekend, give it a try.
Nice.
That's cool.
No, something that's not wow. Anyways. Gary, what do you got?
I happened to come across this video. A couple people had posted online. In fact, I will give credit to Hadrian for posting this on Google Plus. If anyone's familiar with Graham Norton over in Merry Old England, he has a show, which is actually very fun to watch. It's a little bit irreverent at times, but fun. And he had Will Smith and his son Jaden on because they're doing a promotional tour right now for a new movie that's coming out. And I apologize because I don't remember the name of the movie. But he brought along DJ Jazzy Jeff. And the reason they did that was I found out from Drew previously when he was on Graham Norton. Graham Norton wanted Will Smith to do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air song. And he handed him like a little laptop size mixer board or whatever to be able to do the music. So this time he actually brought his DJ and the sound system. And it's a really fun video to watch of them rapping at first, him and Jade and his son. And it's mostly just his son, you know, doing the rap stuff. And then they turn around and they surprise Graham Norton with DJ Jazzy Jeff. And they actually do the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then I think the actor's name is Alfonso Ribeiro, who played Carlton on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air show, shows up and dances. Does the Tom Jones thing. It's hysterical. It was a lot of fun to watch. So I just put that out there for a little fun to put in people's lives.
Cool.
I'll have to watch that later. And last but not least, shoes. I just bought some shoes. Getting some new slip-ons for work. Skechers Men's Golson Belton slip-ons over on which I got on Amazon because when I was calculating out the cost, it ended up being that buying it through Amazon with the free shipping was cheaper than buying it through Skechers without free shipping. So.
Very cool.
That has a tendency to happen. I scope that stuff out. I think it's a good tip, Jeff, to watch through Amazon, especially, or sometimes through eBay. I was surprised to see that on eBay, manufacturers actually sell through eBay.
In this case, the price on the Skechers website was $65. The price on the Amazon website was $70. But when you add in tax and shipping costs, it was more expensive to do it through Skechers than it was through Amazon. So that's one thing to also check. This is because of Amazon Prime. And I get it in 2 days.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I like Skechers for my shoes. I don't know why. I just do. So. But I think the shoe looks nice, and it's kind of one of those things where even if it's not a workplace thing, it's probably still good for like a nice slip-on shoe. So even for like jogging or something, or going to the park with the dog or something. So yeah, basically I did my pick last minute. And that's it. Check that out. Short show. It's good. So with that, I think any shout-outs?
Yeah, I got a quick shout-out. I've been chatting with a guy named Eric who's out in Philadelphia, and he asked for shout-outs. So, hi, Eric. Hope you're having a good day.
Very cool. I'm just going to shout-out to everybody and anybody who happens to listen to us and like what we do. And have fun. Enjoy it. Hopefully by the time you listen to the podcast, you've had a great holiday, Memorial weekend, doing whatever it is, being lazy, having fun, working. Just, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah, there's plenty of ways to contact us too. Please pop over to comesoutloud.com. That's where you can vote in the poll. And also comment on the post for the show. You can also do that. Shoot us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. You can also send a little MP3, MP4 file to us if you would like to leave some sort of voice message. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/comesoutloud, Facebook at facebook.com/comesoutloud, Google Plus, gplus.co/comesoutloud, bearunderground.net. Join our group. Please pop over to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. Also, pop over to Stitcher Radio. Is another way of listening to us. Please give us a thumbs up there. You find me anywhere on the internet as Box Tech, Box Cub, Box Puppy, Box Mom, thing or other. Eric?
Sorry, you can find me online as GamerBear. 75 on Bear Underground. You can also find me online under my name, Eric Patton, on Google+, and most everywhere else is GamerBear.
And I can be found pretty much anywhere on the web that I want to be found as GearBear73.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Goodnight, everybody!